become a nightmare.
Hour two, ladies and gentlemen, of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. This program airs live Monday through Friday, right directly from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network in almost beautiful downtown Round Rock, Texas. You can listen to this broadcast many ways, AM, FM, shortwave, internet, RBN Live. We have free streaming up there and free archive programming. You can peruse the many months we've been in operation for any topic and any talk show host. And, folks, we've covered a large gamut in our one short year of operation here at Republic Broadcasting. My guest today, Ray McGovern. And I want to get off this oil thing, Ray, here, but I just wanted to tell you one other thing. I have a friend of mine that used to work for the Agriculture Department, and we know that, the CIA and the FBI can't go to all places on the planet. And a lot of countries used to look at the Agriculture Department as something beneficial to them. They'd come in, set up programs, and, you know, industrialize their farming and, boost production, so on and so forth. So they were pretty well respected and regarded. Well, this man had the occasion to visit many congressmen and senators' offices. He can put a phone call in and talk to any of these people. He was responsible for getting Ferdinand Marcos out of the Philippines and into Mexico, and he's an honest enough guy that he wouldn't move Ferdinand's funds up here to U.S. banks, and he turned down a bribe, a finder's fee, of some over $200 million. And he came up with a program, and he's been talking to these congressmen and these senators in Washington about the issue of Mexico and their oil. They don't have an economy that's using the oil that they can produce down there, and he said, look, I got a great idea. He said, let's set up an oil for peace program. In other words, we'll buy all the crude from you, Mexico, that we can purchase with the proviso that a certain percentage of those profits go into the building of your infrastructure, roads, buildings, sewage treatment plants, you know, to build an infrastructure for the country, would go a long way with setting up a system down in Mexico that would be more attractive to up to 30 million now illegals now running around this country because they're just looking for a better way of life and a better job. We've had a lot of people with good ideas, but they seem to fall on deaf ears with our Congress critters in Washington, D.C. Have you had occasion yourself to brief these people, to talk to them, about foreign policy and maybe suggest changes to them?
Well, of course, an intelligence officer is not in the business of suggesting policies. Our purview is limited to trying to piece together what the world outside looks like, giving that up to the policymaker in a straight way, telling it like it is, and letting the policymakers make the appropriate decisions. On this oil business, it's really a more complicated problem, and I speak as a layman here when I say that this is really a moral problem. Now, George Kennan was one of my idols. He was the great analyst of Soviet affairs. He said back in the late 40s that, we ought to be realistic here, we Americans. We represent 15% of the world's population, and we control 50% of the world's resources. And so let's not have any of this wimpish civil liberties drivel. We have to protect that 50% if we're going to protect, quote, our way of life, end quote. Okay? Now, the situation is not very different right now. The United States of America controls an inordinately disproportionate share of the Earth's resources. So the question is, does that justify our country making a conscious decision to go into another country like Iraq, and try to take control of their oil resources? Now, I've given lectures on these kinds of things, and I had one very well-heeled gentleman in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, come up to me and say, look, Mr. McGovern, what's your problem? You know, we need the oil, and, it's just six, seven Marines or soldiers killed each week. You got to admit, Mr. McGovern, that's a small price to pay for the oil we need. Not at all like Vietnam, where we've lost 58,000. So what's your problem?
Hold on.
We can leave it at that and kind of answer that and maybe think about that a little bit.
All right. 800-313-9443. We'll get to your calls right after this first break here.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using right-frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Wright discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
Listen, this is important. I know you can handle the truth because you're listening to RBN. How would you like to get paid for telling the truth? Yeah, I'm talking about money in your pocket for exposing the criminals in our government. The tyranny in this country has gone on for too long. As my old friend Barney would say, it's time to nip it. Nip it in the bud. Grab a pen and write down the address to my website so that you can find out what this is all about. The address is www.thelibertyclub.net/user/RBN. That's www.thelibertyclub.net/user/RBN. Do it right now before you forget about it and put a jingle in your pocket.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Oh, do we long for accountability and transparency in our government, folks. Will we have that again in this country? Only if the people wish it. Let's go to the phones. John in Michigan, on a cell. You're on with my
Hello,
guest today.
John.
How you doing?
Great, John. Great show today. John, do we get most of our oil from Saudi Arabia?
I do believe we get a good portion of that. Ray, do you have any breakdown on that?
Yeah, we get most of our oil from Canada.
Okay.
Then Venezuela, and we only get a. But really, it doesn't matter because it's a worldwide commodity, and were the supplies to be crimped from Saudi Arabia, the price would be affected in all sectors.
Okay.
My reason why I ask is because, John, you've had a guest on before talking about the economic assassins, I believe, where they go in and they did this way back when. To control the economy of the countries, and that Saudi Arabia was told in the 70s to raise their price, double their prices by the world bankers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to invest in Chase Manhattan Bank, which put it into holding companies, and then they loaned it out to third world dictators who went bankrupt, put their money in their Swiss bank accounts, and then the bankers took over the natural resources. And the holding companies don't have to pay back the Saudis, and these 30-year notes were due in 2003 and 2004. Now, if the Saudis took all their money out of our country, our stock market would crumble. And
well, not only that is if we made good on the paper that they're holding over there, it can only be estimated. The government accounting office is not being real forthright with the figures, but We know that Japan holds a couple trillion of our paper. We know the Saudis hold a good portion of this debt. The countries we're dealing with, and my contention, Ray, and check me on this one, because I have said that the reason why we're seeing the spike in these oil prices is not because of a peak oil issue, because we're seeing more and more information that we're not exactly awash in oil, but we've got plenty to deal with it until we have other technologies to take over. But I think it's more of a point that these people see a shrinking and failing dollar, and they're just doubling their prices to basically get their money out of this.
Well, there's also the instability in Iraq and the prospect of instability in Saudi Arabia. Those are factors that can't be dismissed. There's a great deal of violence, of course, and there's a great deal of worry about what will happen, and that tends to drive the price up.
Mm-hmm.
One more question, John?
Yes, sir.
I've heard so many stories of people that come up with inventions that are efficient beyond oil for energy, and that the oil companies buy them up and make them just cover them up just to keep this control over the energy source, and that there are many, many ways of getting energy from this earth, because I know that God makes a good world, and that everything's here that we need without greed.
I understand. And on the subject of better gas mileage, we're seeing the President Bush here talking about maybe redoing the EPA standards that were done, I think, back in 1975 about standards for the auto industry. We have technology right now, and especially in the nanotechnologies, that we can be producing still. Internal combustion engines can be getting well over 100 miles to a gallon of gasoline. But then again, you know, we're talking about people that are making their money and billions of dollars off of this resource. I mean, they've got the world by a stranglehold here.
Yeah, one of the interesting things, John, is that in this energy bill that was just developed,
mm-hmm.
There's not a mention of revising the standards. In other words, the standards are 35 miles a gallon for some classes of automobiles. There's no legislation in there that says that the auto companies have to create more efficient engines. And you know, that's the biggie. That's the thing that really eats up the gasoline.
Well,
so
yeah.
Without that, you don't really have an energy bill that's worth the name.
But if you look at – and thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
If you look at the auto companies, in which I was dealing with the auto companies, I worked for them back in the 80s, it would behoove them to take on technology that gets better gas mileage, because, quite frankly, the profits of Ford and General Motors, especially General Motors right now, because their profit margins were in the bigger cars and the SUVs and so on and so forth, it would seem to me that it would behoove them to take this technology on, because they could still be selling their SUVs if the doggone thing's got 30 or 40 miles to a gallon. I mean, let's face it. But we've always lagged behind. I mean, we're looking at a company like Ford Motor Company being reduced. I mean, Ford Motor Company, they came up with a process of assembly line work, assembling automobiles en masse. Henry Ford did that back in the 20s. But we're looking at a situation here, Ray, that we're being choked again. I mean, our literal lifeblood of this economy has been hooked to the oil industry for so long that I don't know that anybody knows a way around this. It's stumping me. I'm seeing the technologies, I'm seeing the information, but I'm not seeing anybody move on this front.
Mm-hmm. It's going to have to get a lot worse, John, before anybody really does move. But you know, we have six grandchildren now, and I'm thinking that you know, they're really going to be the ones that pay the price for all this, because it will come home to roost, and it's not going to be possible to sustain so many millions of automobiles in this country.
Well, and there has been alternatives to this that has been suggested. I mean, look at after World War II. We had a lot of rails in this country. The cheapest and the best way to ship large quantity of goods long distance was by rail.
Sure.
But then we see the government taking up programs, turning rails to trails. So we're shipping everything across the country in inefficient tractor trailers. And of course, there's no such thing as independence anymore, people that can earn a living driving goods or whatever. But rather than taking the bulk of the goods to distribution centers and then having them trucked out short distances from there, you know, we see transcontinental trucking going on, which is wasteful and inefficient. There is so much that we can be doing, but nobody seems to really have a handle on this, and nobody sees a way to make things happen.
Yeah, and you haven't even mentioned the environmental consequences of all this.
Right. All right, let's go back to the phones here. John in Arizona. Hello, John.
Hi, John and Ray. How are you?
Hey, John. Does your name have to be John to get on this program?
I don't know. There seems to be an awful lot of us out here.
It helps. It helps, doesn't it?
I'm having a real hard time with this peak oil issue. You know, from what everything that I've ever been taught is that our government has actually drilled hundreds of oil wells here in the United States, and they've capped them off. And from what I've read is that the bankers simply don't, they want to slow down mobilization of Americans and actually get us all on mass transportation. Therefore, they can control us more, and eventually that's how they're going to be able to implement the chip and everything else, so, you know, the RFID chip and everything implantable. And of course, this is all part of their goals. It's part of their New World Order scheme. So that's just the way I look at it.
Comments, Ray?
Well, John, I think we're all entitled to look at it in our own ways, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But I guess as Senator Pat Moynihan said at one point, not everyone is entitled to their own facts. And, you know, I think we just have to kind of make sure that we have a balanced search for the facts. And
yeah.
I really haven't heard much along the lines of what you've been saying.
But what is the resistance? I mean, as I said, you know, we've not had a sane energy policy in this country in 40 years. The projections were there. The graphs were made.
Mm-hmm.
The oil companies knew exactly where this was going.
Well, that's it. You mentioned that, John, the power of oil. As long as they're making tons of money, and they still are, and they still will when peak oil finally arrives.
Yeah, but don't a lot of the banks actually control, I mean, you know, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, you name it, don't a lot of them own a lot of the behind the scenes, the oil companies?
Yeah, it's such a conglomerate that it's hard to distinguish when you get into the Rockefellers and so forth. In many ways, you know, the definition of fascism is when the corporations have become so entwined with the government that you can hardly distinguish one from the other. That's what happened in Germany. And with that comes a control that allows the government and the corporations to do things like co-opt the media and do other things.
That's what's happened here in the United States.
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right. Hey, John, thanks for calling.
Have a good one.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, John.
Yeah, who was it that said, I think it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that said that the business of government is business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I look at the Constitution, Ray, I know you've read that. As I look at the Constitution, I don't see any verbiage in there that says the business of government is business. That we were supposed to have a laissez-faire or a free market society, and that was pretty regulatory unto itself until we get Big Brother, you know, meddling in everything. We're being federalized at every point here, and I dare say that I don't think there's an American alive in this country today before his feet hit the floor after a night's sleep that he's not breaking some state or federal regulation somehow, some way. It's not getting any better. The more they meddle, the more that they try to control, the worse things are getting. And, you know, we're being told, Ray, that that our national debt here is approaching, I think it's $7,988,000,000 so far. Well, that doesn't seem to be the case. I saw it was over a year ago now. I was just looking through some old paperwork. The Government Accounting Office made a statement, a very small paragraph, last year that stated that, the past, present, and future obligations of the United States government is well over $51 trillion. And we discovered that that was a little padded. It's probably over $70 trillion. What they have done is cooked up a recipe for absolute unrecoverable disaster in this country.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. And these are fiscal conservatives we're talking about, right?
Well, I think that we call them rhinos, Republicans in name only. At any rate, we'll take the break. Julius, Vicki, and others will take your calls, 800-313-9443. And I also want to get into Mr. McGovern, the issue of what happened in the Capitol building on June 16th. I don't know if you caught it on C-SPAN, folks. I sure did. We'll talk about that also. We'll take this short break, short segment, and a long segment coming up, and we'll include your phone calls. And we'll do all that right after this.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hello, this is Christine with BringemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring 'Em Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
June 16th in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., starting, I guess what kicked this off, Ray, was a Downing Street memo. In attendance was Joe Wilson, John Bonifaz, Valerie Plame, Cindy Sheehan was also there. That was a pretty interesting development.
It was. And that's largely because the Downing Street minutes were so interesting. And the mainstream media, surprise, surprise, was completely ignoring them. Let me just say a word about what these are. You see, back in the summer of 2002, Americans and the British were concocting reasons to go to war against Iraq. And the president had already decided to do a war against Iraq. This was long before there was any intelligence, good or bad, to justify this war, and long before the president had gone to Congress. And as we said before, Congress is the only place that has the power to declare or authorize war. So
what happened was the head of British intelligence came to Washington for one of his periodic visits. And when he got back, he called the prime minister and said, look, I have to brief you right away. And sure enough, on July 23, he appears in Downing Street, the prime minister's residence, with 12 other senior officials, the defense secretary, the foreign secretary, the attorney general. And they all are treated to this this account of Sir Richard Dearlove, that was the name of the British intelligence chief, his account of his trip to Washington. And there's one paragraph that just really stands out, and I've got it committed pretty much to memory. Dearlove reports as follows. The climate has completely changed in Washington. The decision for war has been made. George Bush is going to remove Saddam Hussein and have regime change by force. The use of force, this war will be, quote, justified, end quote, by the conjunction of weapons of mass destruction and terrorism. Translation, we're going to make it look like A, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, and B, that he would be likely to give them to terrorists. Okay, that's the conjunction there. But the final sentence in this paragraph is the real gripper. The final sentence reads this way, but the intelligence and facts are being fixed around the policy, end quote. Now, what does that mean? That means that the policy decision is made to have this war, and this, as I say, is the middle of July of 2002, and that the intelligence is going to be conjured up. The intelligence is going to be, well, we'll do a little forgery, maybe. Maybe that'll help, and that's exactly what happened. The intelligence would be concocted to justify the policy. And it was on the basis of this intelligence that our Congress, that our representatives and senators were deceived into forfeiting their right under the Constitution to declare war or to authorize war. So this is very interesting because for us intelligence analysts, well, you know, surprise, surprise, we knew this because we did chronologies and we looked at how things evolved and we knew exactly what had happened. But here we have what, you know, intelligence analysts and, you know, criminal lawyers lust after. What we had now is documentary proof in the voice of our splendid ally, the British, saying the war was inevitable. This is before Parliament or Congress even deliberated on it, that it would be justified by this theory that A, Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and B, they would be likely to give it to terrorists, and C, would build up the intelligence, would manufacture the intelligence to justify this policy. So when we got those documents, I remember they appeared in the London Observer on May 1st of this year, and I remember reading the document and thinking, my goodness, what a patriotic truth teller that must have been that went to that reporter and gave that reporter the minutes. And these are the official minutes. Tony Blair admits these are the official minutes of that meeting. And so we know exactly what happened, and we all wrote little articles in various websites and so forth, but the New York Times and the Washington Post, it took them four weeks to acknowledge the story, and when the Post did, it said, well, there's nothing new here. Can you believe it? Nothing new here. Here we have documentary evidence of the origins of this war and the intelligence that was manufactured to quote, justify it. So, to his great credit, John Conyers, a representative from Michigan and ranking member, ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee, wanted to hold a hearing on this. And his chair was not at all interested in holding a hearing on it, so he said, no, we shouldn't have a hearing. And Conyers said, no, I'm going to go ahead anyway. Can I have a conference room? And they said, well, no, you can't have a conference room. And so the Democrats control one lowly little room in the bottom of the Capitol, and that was the one that we had to go down to testify. And as John has said, it was Joe Wilson, Cindy Sheehan, John Boniface, the lawyer, and myself. And it was a very freewheeling discussion. C-SPAN covered it. It was like a shot in the arm for people because we had no no axes to grind. We told her like it is, and it was just a really good performance by the representatives that came, and there were about 40 of them. It was great.
And where is that right now? Is this a dead issue, or are they demanding hearings?
No, we're going to have new hearings on the 15th of September. Lynn Woolsey from California is going to hold a similar hearing, and surprise, surprise, she's not yet been able to secure the use of a conference room.
I don't doubt it. We'll break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Listen, this is important. I know you can handle the truth because you're listening to RBN. How would you like to get paid for telling the truth? Yeah, I'm talking about money in your pocket for exposing the criminals in our government. The tyranny in this country has gone on for too long. As my old friend Barney would say, it's time to nip it. Nip it in the bud. Grab a pen and write down the address to my website so that you can find out what this is all about. The address is www.thelibertyclub.net/user/RBN. That's www.thelibertyclub.net/user/RBN. Do it right now before you forget about it. And put a jingle in your pocket.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Let's go back to the phones, and Ray, I want to continue with this, what started this thing off, the Downing Street minutes. But let's go back to the phones. Julius in Arizona. Hello, Julius. Thanks for holding.
Hello, John and Ray.
Hi, Julius.
I've been real upset about this situation going off to a war with Iraq from the beginning, and I wrote an article. I remember watching Secretary Powell's performance before the UN where he claimed that there were large trucks used with a crane to load crated up munitions, allegedly weapons of mass destruction, onto these trucks, and then they were supposed to have disappeared into the night into Syria. And they claimed that, you know, they were spirited in there, and then they lost track of them. Well, I had one problem with it after looking at the images. I downloaded a couple of the images from the State Department website, showing the site where there were a couple of munitions bunkers and a bunch of long trucks and what was purported to be a front-end loader. And I threw it into my paint program. I have a Linux computer, and it's got a lot of wonderful software. And I blew up the image just slightly, and come to find out, the dump trucks were not flatbed trucks like you would see on the freeway hauling, you know, pallets of whatever. But they were in-dump, belly, fifth-wheel dump trucks. And the so-called front-end loader, forklift, was not proportional to a normal forklift. In fact, it had been airbrushed out with some dark shadows, some black. And it looked more to me like a five-yard Caterpillar front-end loader with a big bucket on it, you know, a five-yard bucket. And all the other signs around the area looked to me like maybe somebody was parking construction equipment at this site, or they were in the process of stripping up gravel that had been there and using it for another project somewhere else. Because there was the ground was scuffed up a lot in the area. And then the shadows, for some reason, they went to great length to throw shadows on one side of some of the major trees. But they missed a building in the upper left-hand corner. The shadow was on the other side of the building. And I'm thinking to myself, who makes this crap? My 14-year-old kid could have done a better job.
Well, let me...
I knew they were lying. I just knew they were lying. Once I saw that, I knew. I've been in construction all my life, and I've been around these big in-dump, belly-dump trucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke. And I wrote an article and put it up on my site at simmeringfrogs.com, and anybody wants to look at it, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julius, I think I really admire you for doing that because you have the expertise to do it, you've got the machinery, and you did it. Let me... put this in perspective here. Used to be that the imagery collection and analysis function in our government was controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency. Okay, that was part of our charter, really, because we were the all-source analytic arm of the government, and so that was part of our duty. Now, in 1996, a director named John Deutsch gave that capability some 800 people strong. Now, these are the people that found missiles in Cuba, okay? These are the people who were able to verify arms control agreements. This is incredible expertise. He
sure.
gave the whole unit to the Pentagon. And so what you have now is these people report to Secretary Rumsfeld, and they do his bidding. And so if Secretary Rumsfeld wants some stuff airbrushed or he wants to put some things that are really garbage trucks and he wants to make them look like chemical sanitation vehicles, well, he can do that. And it's that bad. And that's what you get with Powell, whether he knew what he was doing or whether he was set up. Well, I don't know which is worse. He still gave out spurious information here. And it was an incredible embarrassment. Think of all the credibility that our government lost by that one performance on February 5, 2003.
Well,
Could you answer one more question? I had heard a rumor shortly after that somebody who was quoting Powell in the Pentagon having said, and I'll clean this up for radio, that when they handed him this project that he was supposed to give before the UN, he blurted out, "I can't use this." And I'll insert a blank place that denotes animal farm excrement.
Yeah.
He said it's horrible. You know,
yeah.
He said it's excrement. You know.
Yeah.
And, I wonder if that's true. Any way of tracking that one down?
Sure, it's true. Yeah, what he was given was a sheaf of documents from the White House, and this is Libby, and this is the Cheney, and these are the people who wanted him to make the worst case so that presumably the UN would be persuaded. Now, I don't have much sympathy for Colin Powell because he used this animal
sure.
form excrement, okay? And he knows better. And so, you know, for the good soldier to salute and say, "Well, yes, sir, I'll use it anyway," that doesn't exculpate him. They were all in it together. It was a miserable performance. To watch the head of the CIA sitting behind Powell like a potted plant, as if to say, "Yeah, the CIA agrees with everything Powell says."
it was the low point in my 45 years of watching intelligence and government, the very lowest point.
Ray Colon, I mean, he's got a track record as a Stephen Fetchin going back to My Lai in Vietnam.
That's right. He didn't investigate that because his commanding officer said, well, maybe you ought to look into fixing up the officers' club or something like that.
Julius, anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you, guys. I hope we can turn this around. I got a distant cousin that's passed away 5 years ago, Fletcher Prouty, and I think the world needs more people like you, Ray. My hat goes off to you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Julius.
Yeah, and this is the question I ask of all the guests. Ray, why did you do this? Now, this can't be popular right now in Washington, D.C. I'm sure that your name is not high on the Christmas gift list, from George Bush. What's your motivation here? What made you step out of the shadows and do this?
Well, I think you mentioned early on that there's an inscription sort of etched into the marble there at the CIA headquarters entrance, and it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now, that comes right from the Gospel of John. I think that we really can't have justice in this world without truth. And I don't think we can have peace without justice. And so, having spent 27 years in the CIA, almost all of which I was able to actually pursue the truth and tell it without fear or favor. And this is, one-on-one with the Vice President, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense. Is Gorbachev for real, let's say? And I'd say yes. My colleagues, my Soviet specialist colleagues assure me that this is a different animal. You can negotiate with him. And Shultz would take that. And he wouldn't take the propaganda that was coming from Bill Casey and others, head of the CIA, and he'd deal with Gorbachev. So it was a very heady performance, a very heady experience to be in. And so to watch this eroded, to watch this prostituted, really is the right word here, right before my very eyes, well, that, there isn't a word to describe. The outrage doesn't even come close. And not only that, of course, but young men and women are being killed now because of the corruption of intelligence. So, there's no option. My friends and I and veteran intelligence professionals for Sanity have been given great gifts. We had a chance to serve at the best time in our government. We were given the tools at taxpayer expense to be able to figure things out. And we never thought we'd be put in the position of analyzing our own government. And that's where we are right now, using the media analysis techniques we used to apply to the Soviet Union. Now we apply them to our own government. But it's a very fruitful source of political investigation, and we can do it. And so when Colin Powell did speak on February 5, 2003, we did do a same-day critique, and we served it up to the president, and we said to Mr. President, Colin Powell gets an A for performance, a C minus for content, and he hasn't given you any real proof of any necessity to wage war. And we finished up that thing saying, Mr. President, what you need to do is widen the circle of your advisors beyond those who are hell-bent on perpetrating a war for which there is no justification and from which the unintended consequences are likely to be catastrophic. And I know that by heart now because I used that again in another piece that we wrote today. That's what we said. It was not the case that nobody knew that this would come to this. And right now, in answer to Julius and everybody else, what we need to do is act like good citizens, and we need to pursue the truth, and we need to stop this war. And there's a responsible way to stop it. I'm not saying, pull out the troops tomorrow. That's wrong. But we can't succumb to this artifice that says, look, we've got to stay the course because there's no way out there. And when Rumsfeld says, well, it could be, could be another 12 years. This is not knowable. We'll see it when it happens. How can we let a guy like that get away with it?
I've said of Rummy, I said, he'd probably be great entertainment at a cocktail party. But this man in the position that he's in is just absolutely incredible that this goes on. Ray, I have said this before, that I think what a lot of people have been waiting for is for people to come forth and be willing and able to speak the truth. Once people see that there's people with inside government like yourself, and I've said this for years, not everybody in the CIA is bad. Not everybody in the FBI is bad. Not everybody in government is bad. There's a lot of stupidity, that's for sure. There's a lot of looking out for the paycheck and the retirement benefits also. That is true. But once people start to come forward and speak the truth, that will lay the groundwork, a solid groundwork for stable ground without being threatened, without being harassed, without being murdered, or whatever the case may be, that more and more people will feel comfortable coming forth with the truth. And once again, we'll have transparency in the government.
I think you're right, John, and I do see some hopeful signs. Cindy Sheehan has struck a real note here, a spark that shows her to be a courageous woman who's not afraid to pursue the president and ask for the truth. And then there are what we call, Dan Ellsberg and I, we call them patriotic truth tellers. Other people call them leakers. These are the folks that went to the Washington Post 2 weeks ago and said, look, we just completed a national intelligence estimate, the highest genre of analysis you can do, a national intelligence estimate on weapons of mass destruction in Iran, okay? And we found that as far as a nuclear capability is concerned, they are at least 10 years away from having a nuclear weapon, okay? Now, they leaked that to this Washington Post reporter. That's the first good news. The second good news is that that reporter wrote it up. And the third piece of good news is that her editor put it on as the lead item on the front page. Now, that's progress, okay? Next time, Dick Cheney wants to say, well, Iran is just about to get a nuclear weapon. The tools are there for a responsible reporter to say, well, hold on for a second. Doesn't the Central Intelligence Agency say it's 10 years away? And there's just a possibility that enough people have become attuned to the deception that is periodically or habitually practiced by this regime to say, look, we're not going to buy yet another war based on phony intelligence.
Well, and, you know, it's a shame. Ray, I have been called everything under the sun. I've been called anti-government. I've been called a troublemaker. I have been called many different things. I love my country very much. I'm not willing to give up my life for it. I'm willing not to die for it. I'm willing to kill for it. I am not an anti-war person because there are times when war is justified, but not this insanity, and especially with what's going on in the Middle East and what's at stake right now. I do not see the value in continuing this, and I hope, and Ray, I will do anything that I can to help what you guys are doing in VIPS. Any information, anybody in your group that wants to come on this network to speak, and my position has always been of no compromise, because in this great country, there is, in my book, no room for compromise, no shaving the truth, no cutting corners. It's either transparent, it's honest, and it's forthright for everybody to see, or you just don't do it.
I agree, and the sea change that came in with this administration is a total disregard for the truth and kind of a total disregard for international law. I was rereading Against All Enemies, the Richard Clarke book, and it's quite striking. You know, he talks about the evening of 9/11 and the president's meeting with his top advisors, and this is how he quotes the president. I want you to understand that we're at war and nothing else matters. This is our only agenda. Now, Rumsfeld, of all people, interrupts and he says, you know, international law doesn't allow us to use force to exact revenge. We're only allowed to use force to prevent further attacks. And this is what Clark says. Bush nearly bit his head off. No, the president yelled in the narrow conference room. I don't care what the international lawyers say. We are going to kick some ass, okay? Now, that's Texas cowboy stuff. And what does that result in? That results in our young people being encouraged against torture, except it's got to be with respect to military necessity. In other words, we're allowed to torture consistent with military necessity. Now, that's against the Geneva Accords. That's against the War Crimes Act, 1996, U.S. Code. But the president, look, I don't care what the international lawyers say. We're at war. We're going to do whatever we darn well please. Well, Rumsfeld got religion right quick, didn't he? And he authorized all these extra-legal, illegal torture techniques. Now, why the people in this country, why the churches in this country don't recognize that for what it is? I mean, torture is in a special category. I compare it to rape and I compare it to slavery. Always wrong. Doesn't matter that it doesn't work anyway. It's just morally unacceptable. And why so many of our people can just sort of yawn and say, well, I suppose, consistent with military necessity, we can torture people. Well, that's a slippery slope right down to tyranny. And I think we have to face up to that, and we have to take appropriate measures to prevent that.
Yeah, and how we skirt this issue is we don't call them prisoners of war and treat them according to the Geneva Convention. We just designate them as being enemy combatants, and they have no rights.
Yeah, including American citizens.
That's right.
I mean, Padilla has been sitting in jail for 3 years and 90 days, okay, without any access to lawyers. It's habeas corpus out the door. First Amendment, forget it. So, we have to sort of get a little real with these folks and say, that's not our America. We're going to insist on the Constitution. And, the Constitution was prepared by folks that were, as I said before, very foresighted. And they anticipated a situation such as now where one president might start to think he's a king. I referred to, the English kings. And so they put in the very Constitution itself the provision to be followed in that case, and it's called impeachment. And why so few people are willing to cite that provision in our Constitution and say, look, a president who says international lawyers be damned, it doesn't matter, that's a case for impeachment.
Well, and Ray, I don't know George Bush personally. The only thing I can do is the same thing that you do. We can and watch the man, sit back, watch how he reacts. But I cannot see any man with a moral compass or anything to do with ethics. I don't know how the man can sleep at night. I really don't. I can honestly say, Ray, I do not hate any man. There's a lot of people that I don't like what they do, but I don't harbor hate in my heart because that clouds your judgment. We're dealing with something that seems to be pretty factual, pretty black and white on the surface. It is what it is. And either we stop this, or this country, we already have enough problems in this country right now that anything could bring this down. Economically, many things could happen. We do not have the time, nor do we have the resources to have such a man as this seated in the White House. We just cannot afford it. We cannot afford it to the rest of the world. It's got to stop. And I want to see this man impeached. I want to see him go to jail.
Well, I think there are a lot of things on the horizon, to include the results of the investigation of the Joe Wilson Valerie Plame case, and other things that are going to come due in this fall. Plus, the fact that we'll have major rallies and demonstrations on the 24th of September to register once again our abhorrence to the continuation of this war and the continued killings of our young people. So I see a confluence of events, and I'm very heartened by the recent polls that show the president's popularity at all-time lows. So what we need to do is keep pressing our advantage now, and it is an advantage because we've got truth on our side. We've got the Downing Street papers, documentary evidence, and I think we'll have more patriotic truth-tellers coming out of the woodwork in defense and in the intelligence community to say, look, this is what's really going on. We ought to put a stop to it.
But it can't stop there. Dealing with George Bush and Dick Cheney and the crew that he's put together in Washington, D.C., that is not the end of the story. I look at this as being a beginning for the restoration of this great constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
And it cannot be any other way, because you have children, you have five grandchildren. What legacy are we to leave them if we do not clean house and do it now?
Yeah, well, John, you put your finger on it. That's why I'm neglecting just about everything else these days and trying to write and speak and interview so that what little I know can at least be shared. And I think we all need to do that. And I'm hopeful that the American people will finally wake up because, you know, John, what I really compare this period to is the day I was born. I was born 2 days from now, 66 years ago. So that's 6 days before Hitler sent his tanks into Poland to start World War II. And I feel a particular affinity for that period in Germany, and I lived there for 5 years and had all manner of opportunity to ask every German I met, all young or old, how it could possibly be that the most educated, the most cultured folk in the Western world, how they could sit back and watch what was going on and not find their voice. Why was it that the Catholic Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, why is it that they remained silent and watched Hitler as he did all these things? I see parallels now in this country, and I'm hopeful that we can rise to the occasion in a way far better than the obedient Germans did.
Well, and I'm seeing a real interesting mess. Callers, and I apologize, I can't get to the rest of your calls. I wanted to spend some quality time here with our guest today, Mr. McGovern. But we've had examples, Ray, in history. We have seen the despots. We have seen the dictators. We've seen the Mussolinis. We've seen the Joe Stalins. We've seen the Adolf Hitlers. I don't enjoy the fact that I look at somebody like George Bush, and I want to lump him into the same categories. I'm seeing socialism and communism in this country. I'm seeing federal tyranny. I am seeing the absolute control and the deconstruction of this republic. There was a reason why it became the fastest growing country. We grew so fast, so large, so quickly. There were reasons why this happened. We had some of the best minds in the world. We had people that were willing to die to get into this country so they can enjoy what you and I have enjoyed in our lives. But I was born a free man in this country, and I plan on dying in this country a free man. Can we make it happen?
Well, I think we can, but only if we remember, you know, what folks in the past faced up to. Now, Edmund Burke, I like to quote, he's one of the famous British statesmen of the 18th century. And JFK actually liked to quote him in the same quotation. He said that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who remain neutral in times of crisis. Well, folks, in my view, these are times of crisis. And I made a little joke about this in something I wrote recently. The people out in Crawford, where I just spent 5 days, kept sort of telling us to go to hell, okay? Well, I think we need not to oblige those folks, okay? Not to oblige them. Let's not end up in hell, according to Burke's dictum. Let's rise to the occasion and avoid this because, you know, in the final analysis, hell is hotter than Crawford. And Crawford, I assure you, is damn hot during the summer.
I can attest to that. I'm just about 100 miles south of that, down 35.
Oh, that's right. You guys are in Texas.
That's right. Ray McGovern, thank you for these 2 hours. We will stay in touch with you, and we'll keep people updated. And anybody out of your VIPS group, anybody that wants to come on this broadcast is more than welcome. And again, sir, thank you for your courage and thank you for stepping out. And I hope this is going to encourage other people that want to stand for truth and righteousness in this country. It will prevail, folks, if we demand it, if we wish it, if we want it.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. I forgot who my guest is going to be, but it's going to be an interesting one. Tune in tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.